Hello, this is Jo Tomlin for Fringe Review, and today I'm talking to an emerging choreographer. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Ting Makinta. I am the artistic director of Empowered Artist Collective and currently working on a couple of new works. I have been over the last couple of years and finally am getting an opportunity to stage things. I grew up here in the Bay Area in California, basically kind of spent my whole entire life here. I'm in my, without aging myself, in my mid-30s. I just kind of am having an opportunity now, actually, as a multidisciplinary artist, not just to kind of explore my experiences in dance, but also intertwining that with all of my other experiences, having grown up, personal experiences, educational job experiences. So thank you for having me for this interview.
And how did you first get interested in dance?
That's a very interesting one, actually. No one has ever asked me that directly, at least. I would say the first 13 or 14 years of like my formative dance career, dancing in like dance ciphers. So I grew up in really traditional foundational hip hop settings outside. We oftentimes were like out on the street, in parks, dancing, doing stuff like that. Fast forward into high school, then I had a lot of formative training in Western classical dance. I had never had any training in Western classical dance prior to that, so I jumped into a dance class that was a high school, very much recreational class setting, but was surrounded by a bunch of young ladies and young men who had danced at competition studios. So I was expected to either learn really fast or I didn't perform in pieces. So I picked up a lot of skills, and then also likewise, during the time that I was in the hip hop community, I was also exposed to a lot of traditional and indigenous inspired like Filipino dance styles. And then grew up around a lot of friends who were basically immigrant families. So grew up around a lot of East African friends, West and Central African, South African, Indian friends. So there was a lot of exposure to dance and music and cultural dance forms outside of what I knew at home. And then in my 20s, I was like on a huge hiatus from the dance community. Like I danced up until I was maybe in my early 20s, took 8 or 9 years off. And then maybe 6 years ago, I kind of stepped back onto the scene. So my dance career, that is like a short and brief, very brief, like view of what my dance career has been. But I've had a lot of great opportunities, being able to kind of experiment with choreographic pieces, even though they weren't necessarily staged. I've taught for many years. I've been a teacher and an educator for, I would say, maybe 7 or 8 years now, and also now work in arts admin as a youth program manager at Shaw Anderson Dance Center. So my experiences are quite large.
Yes, and how did you decide that choreography was something that you wanted to do?
That has been something that I've wanted to do since high school. I was told many times by teachers that, like, as a dancer, you have to make your rounds before you could become a choreographer. Like, you kind of have to, for lack of better phrasing, I guess, pay your dues, like, as a dancer. And I kind of always argued with that. There was always kind of this sense of, like, choreographing and dancing are two different skills. And while most times those things come together, oftentimes the choreographers that we know very well are choreographers who once were dancers who are now working with dancers. I didn't really see myself dancing in my 20s as a career. Like I danced, I did perform here and there, but I didn't really kind of, my headspace was in choreographing, and that's kind of where it's always been. And it's just great that I'm actually getting an opportunity now to start exploring and really showcasing some of the works that I've been thinking about, working on, theorizing on, and experimenting with, like, at home.
So when you think about a choreography, what do you think of? How do you begin? And what is your process? What are the you've mentioned a lot of influences, but what is it that you want to say or bring into your choreography?
Very simply, I think the main thing, I think the most important thing for me is being able to tell stories. There are a lot of other things, but I think the main thing is the storytelling aspect. Having grown up around parents who are immigrants, family members who have deep roots in cultural trauma, having grown up around indigenous friends from indigenous communities, it feels right to be able to tell stories on stage. And I definitely have always explored this idea of celebrating and keeping alive cultural and indigenous practices while also learning how to use the modern stage to be able to kind of put forth those stories, because they're really important. So in thinking about that, I think when I approach like my choreographic practice, the main thing that I want to do is really tell a story and really be able to get that story across to the folks who are watching, even if it's abstract. Like, someone should be able to still be able to take information from that and walk away and be able to think and analyze on what they just saw. And when I go into the studio, it can be an interesting process, especially for the dancers, depending on who the dancer is. Maybe not the best setting for a ballet dancer who's used to structure and constantly having like choreography set for them. Oftentimes, if I don't know dancers, I won't choreograph anything until I meet them. And I often am choreographing on the spot for the first couple of weeks until we really kind of get into a headspace where I know who they are as individuals and then also who they are as dancers, both in like their skill as well as just, again, like their experiences. Storytelling for me is not super linear. So in that same thought process, neither is choreographing nor is the rehearsal space. So when we come into the space, everything is super fluid. I may or may not have combinations. I may have certain things kind of set out in my head, but the reality is that I am working with the dancers as much as I am choreographing on them, because that's part of storytelling for me.
How do you work with music? Do you choose music first or later, or how does music come into this, your process?
That actually can really depend. So sometimes there will be instances where I have ideas. In this case, when I do have time, I do a lot of soundscaping for my own pieces, being a multidisciplinary artist. So I do work with instruments. I actually have a minor in voice training, so I'm kind of dabbling with instruments now and kind of learning how to play with that. So it depends. The latest piece that we just worked on, I want to say I had some music in mind. Like, I didn't necessarily have the songs picked out, but I had my story. I had my story kind of planned out, so I knew that culturally, depending on where the story went, because it was kind of each section shifted from one culture to the next, I knew that I had a storyline in place in which I needed certain cultural musical pieces for each section, but wasn't sure on the music. So I would argue that most times I don't really have music choices set up. And I kind of, again, really just kind of go with the flow. I work with the dancers. Many times it's a feeling. So when I come into rehearsals as we're working on choreography, there's an energy in the space, and that energy requires a specific type of sound. You know, if you think of singing bowls and even just spiritual spaces, that's really important to me in terms of curating the space. So music is not always super important to me right out of the gate.
So you just mentioned your latest piece. Could you give me the title, please? And tell me, how would you describe it? The style of dance and the use of space? What does it mean? I saw it. It was beautiful. Absolutely wonderful. So please describe it and tell us the title.
So the title of the performance piece, the title of the performance piece is Kinata'o. I believe it's an Ilocano word, which is a language from my family's hometown. Well, I wouldn't say hometown, but the region of the Philippines where my family's from. I think it also is a word in Tagalog, which is the national language, but loosely means humanity. The piece itself really kind of explores the idea of continuity and being able to pass on ancestral learnings, even subconsciously, whether that's through DNA, metaphorically, you know, we pass on information culturally in so many different ways. So this performance piece really kind of explores that, and in a lot of ways focuses on the livelihoods of women in Indigenous and village communities, town communities, city communities, who are often really the bearers of burden and are really kind of like the support within the community that we don't always recognize. It was an opportunity for me to really acknowledge the women and feminine figures who have not just made impacts on my life, but who I've watched grow and thrive in their young years, adult years, whether that's aunts, friends, grandmothers. And it also was a celebration of culture. So within the piece, you see cultural representations from Northern Luzon, which is kind of near where my family is from Ilocos Nortes. You see representations of post-colonial Philippines in the clothing. You see representations of Cordilleras and the Kalinga indigenous communities, as well as the Ifugao communities. And then likewise, because my family is from all three major islands from north to south, you see cultural representations of communities from Mindanao and from the far south islands of Tawi-Tawi and Sulu. So you see all these different representations from the many different islands of the Philippines. And I took a very modified, modern approach to choreography. It very much is a mixture of my experiences as a modern and hip-hop dancer, as well as incorporating the indigenous-inspired influences that you see not only in the costuming and the attire, but the performance piece and the actual choreography as well. A lot of the spacing, I think, was really important. I that's one thing that I actually wanted to touch bases on, just because the staging itself really had a lot to do with curating a space that was not linear, that had this feeling of continuity, but not necessarily in a straight line, because education doesn't always really work that way. Education has a tendency to be in a circle. It's in all places. So they move around the stage quite a bit. They have sections where they are kind of stationed in specific areas, which has a lot to do with how we push the story along on the stage. But we give them opportunities to take up space and then to like leave the space empty. It allows opportunities to fill the vessel and then to empty it back out again.
Is this one of the first fully produced pieces that you've been able to mount?
The short end is yes. Like, if we're not including my high schoolers, which I love them very much, I love the teens that I work with, this is the first real, like, stage piece that we've had an opportunity to do. I'm sure as many folks listening to this know, as artists, it's really hard to get funding for stuff. So we try to work as hard as we can, and we continue working on our performance pieces, even though we don't have staging opportunities. But in this case, we had a really great opportunity to do that. And we were able to do it with some other great choreographers as well that were also staging experimental pieces. And it just was a really great weekend. You know, we got a lot of very good responses. We assumed that we as a collective assumed that we would have to take this piece back, experiment, test out some more stuff. And really what we got was an outpour of like appreciation and support for the piece.
That's wonderful. And now briefly tell us about your company.
So our artist collective titled Empowered Artist Collective. So just to clarify, because everybody gets a little confused, it's an acronym. So we took out all of the vowels from the word empowered. So what you're going to want to look for is MPWRD collective.org. We are actually a multidisciplinary artist collective that allows artists to work, specifically BIPOC artists and their allied friends, to work in spaces where they can cultivate art and not feel like they have to like sell themselves as artists. I think oftentimes when we come to conferences, when we go to spaces with other artists where we have to talk about our work, we feel like we're putting ourselves on the line as artists and we're really having to sell ourselves. It feels almost like we're selling our bodies, if you will, to have to get people to like understand and appreciate our art. And that doesn't happen in every art setting, but I think what we want to do with our artist collective is really just cultivate a holistic space where people can come and not only create their art, but also maybe stumble on someone else's artwork and realize maybe we want to work on a collaboration, or maybe there's another artist who we'd like to support and really amplify their voice, whether that's posting on social media. It gives us an opportunity in this space as artists to just be artists. But likewise, it also is work. So we are really trying to create community spaces. Aside from us being a multidisciplinary artist space, we also are looking to work internationally with communities to try to really amplify voices of Indigenous communities. Currently, some of our endeavors are trying to create international access to Indigenous textiles, particularly Inabel, which is from the area my family is from in Ilocos. They're hand-woven loom-woven fabric and textiles. And it's really hard to get here in the States. So right now we're trying to at least get that stuff here to the Philippines and hopefully open a market where these sellers can also start traveling themselves outside of the country to other places and really talking about the work that they do to keep the cultural work going. So we have a lot of projects. There are many, many projects to be short. But a lot of that stuff is also on Instagram, on our websites. I would say one other really important project we're doing aside from the textile work is also trying to provide scholarships for young and adult artists to travel with us back home during our research and immersion trips. Currently, we just finished our first trip this past June to the Philippines, and we were there for a month doing a lot of cultural research and immersion, and we hope to do it every year with the help of the community currently. We also are fiscally sponsored in trying to do this project, but we hope to provide 2 scholarships every year for either like a young adult or an adult who'd like to come with us on our immersion trip every year and basically continue the learning process. We hope to expand to other countries also. With my mom's side of the family being African American, we'd like to travel West Africa, Central Africa, South Asia, India, Sri Lanka. We have friends from all over the world. So these are just some of the other cool projects we're doing aside from staging performance pieces and working with other artists here locally.
Well, best of luck with everything. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us this afternoon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. You know, it's just a great opportunity. We get all of the opportunities when we don't expect it. So it's been great. Thank you so much.